Thanks for joining us for today's message. We encourage you to email us and let us know what God is currently doing in your life. Or if you'd like to support the ministry financially, you can do so here on our website. Right now, you're about to listen to a message from our current series. Thanks for tuning in today.
Turn, if you would, to Romans, the first chapter. If you've been, you know, those of you not been with us, we've been doing a series on the subject of faith. Amen. The spiritual force of faith and how important it is in your life. So I'd love for you to go back into the on the internet, and you can listen to the series, and you'll be inspired. You'll grow in faith, which you need on a daily basis. Last week, we learned that growing in faith is a journey. I just want you to know that. It's a journey. It's a journey from the time you get born again until you enter into the gates of heaven. Faith is a spiritual journey. From one act of obedience to the next while trusting God each step of the way. Romans 1, verse 16. This is Paul instructing the new believers in Rome. He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Lift your hand if the gospel of Christ changed your life. Lift your hand if the gospel. The word gospel simply means good news. God brought us good news. What was it? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in, the Amplified says, trusts in, it adheres to and relies on Jesus the Christ, the anointed one, shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. Amen. Eternal, everlasting life. And he goes on and says, for the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, the Jew first and then also the Greek. For therein, in the gospel of Christ, is the righteousness of God, or right standing with God, is revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just or the upright shall live by faith. Amen. Right standing with God, listen to me, is promised to the entire world. To the entire world. Right standing with God has been offered to every sinner in the world. Because if it wasn't, you wouldn't be here today. That's the good news. I said, that's the good news. But even as I shared last week, the Apostle Paul said, well, how can they, they've never heard the news, respond to it without hearing it? And how can they hear it without someone being sent? So you are a sent one. You've been sent into your world, your neighborhood, where you work, where you shop. You've been sent there to give people hope that because God loves them and he's given them right standing with him. Now you can give God a good shout of praise. Amen. Amen. It's true. The just shall live by faith. This is the same faith that everybody that is listening to Hebrews 11 exercised while they were running their spiritual race. The same faith that Abraham exercised throughout the course of his life. We know that for at least 100 years, Abraham lived by faith. He lived the life of faith, praise God, trusting God. Listen, for every aspect of his life. Amen. Do you remember he couldn't have children? His wife was barren, couldn't have children, and he wanted a child, at least one, but there was a delay, and he didn't understand it, but he trusted God, and we'll look more of that next week. We'll cover that more next week. Last week, we learned this, that for Abraham to grow in faith for greater victories, it was required of him to step out by faith, take steps of faith, so that he could attain to what God had for him. And that is true for every believer. When you were first saved, you exercised a measure of faith. Romans 12:3 says that God has given to everyone a measure of faith. And then that is the beginning of your salvation. And then you're to build upon that from faith to faith. You're to trust God, stepping out each day, looking unto him. The Bible calls him the author and the finisher of your faith in Romans 12, verse 2. He's the author of your faith. He authored it, and he's going to finish it if you will stay true and committed to him. If you believe that, say amen. We all grow. We all go or grow from faith to faith. Amen. And the greater measure of faith that we exercise or walk in or live in or learn to live in, we'll have greater results, greater achievements, greater victories in our lives, which God wants. Hallelujah. So as Abraham grew from faith to greater faith, listen, this is so good. He was not only able to believe God for the impossible, he was able to obey God for the impossible. His own, he not only believed God for the impossible, he obeyed God. He was able to obey God for the impossible things that God had for him in his life. So he, listen, there were seven steps of growing from faith to faith that Abraham had to walk through, and I want to give those to you really quick. The first step of growing from faith to faith was, number one, through obedience. We talked about this last week, so I'm just going to quote them. Number two, through worship. This is all in the Bible. Number three, through worship, through prayer, through separating himself from his strife and discord, through self-sacrifice, through going against the odds, and through tithing to Melchizedek, the high priest of God. And in all these steps of faith that Abraham took, he was being spiritually prepared. Listen, for the things that were impossible, and that was, of course, having a child at his old age. Now, for a time, he could, until he was about 85 years old. Of course, he took Hagar, according to Sarah's suggestion, to give Sarah a child, and of course, that backfired, and that child became Ishmael, and the Ishmaelites have been a problem to Israel up to this very day. You please don't get ahead of God. You make more problems than you could ever imagine. Can I have an amen? And so anyway, all these steps, Abraham was being prepared for that which was impossible, which was what? Number one, the fulfillment of his prophetic name. What was his prophetic name? Thou shalt be a father of many nations. Impossible except for God. Number two, to become an integral part of God's plan of salvation for the entire human race, which again was impossible without God. But he trusted God, and because he did, he obtained righteousness through right standing with God because of his faith. Amen. Now, Romans 1:17 says, the just shall live by faith. Why is this important? Because Hebrews 11 says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that God is. See, when you come to church on Sundays, what we try to do is we try our best. Angie does when she's leading, or whoever is leading music, orchestrating God's presence, trying to get you to respond to it. Why? Because faith without corresponding action is dead. So when we tell you to lift your hands and praise God, we're simply trying to get you to exercise your faith so God can return a blessing back into your life. How many came to get a blessing from God in your life? Amen. No use coming here and leaving and saying, "Ma, I tell you, I didn't get nothing. That preacher was deader than a doornail." But it could have been you. That music just did nothing for me. But it could be you. Because they were singing about Jesus. It's got to do something for you. We're preaching about Jesus. It's got to do something for you. Amen. I said amen. I've been to churches, you know, where we wouldn't consider them to be, you know, born-again preaching churches or spirit-filled churches, and I'd get blessed out of my socks. Why? Because I just open my heart to receive whatever the minister's saying, and if it's saying it according to the word of God, I'll be blessed no matter what. Amen. God wants you to come and receive from him so that you can grow from faith to faith. If you believe that, say amen. So why? The just shall live by faith. Amen. So the only way you're going to please God is through a life of faith, exercising your faith. Praise the Lord so that God can bless you. Listen, as followers of Christ, every aspect of our lives is a journey of faith. I'll give you four examples. Number one, making a marriage work. It is a journey of faith. And you cannot make a marriage work without faith in God and obedience to his word. If you agree, say amen. You're going to be required to grow from faith to faith and required to live a life of self-sacrifice. These are the keys to a successful relationship. It's the keys to a successful marriage. Number two, raising a family that will honor and glorify God is surely a journey of faith. And again, will require for you as a man and a woman of God to grow from faith to faith. It's required. Why? So that you're putting your trust in God. So I think the greatest challenge of life is that when we are one thing here, but we're another thing at home. We're praising God here, but we're actually cursing God at home. We're cursing because, you know, we're mad because we don't like our job. We're mad because we can't pay our bills. We're mad because of this and that. And all of a sudden, our children, they're very precious things. Remember, humility, trust, love and forgiveness, those things, you're beginning to tear them apart and begin to crush them and deteriorate them in your child's heart. So all of a sudden they grow up and they're not trusting God at all. Because why? Because of the lack of leadership by mom and dad. So raising a family really takes a great discipline on our part as parents. If you agree, say amen. How about going to work every day? Get up every morning and go to work to provide for your family. That is a journey of faith. It is a journey of faith. We've been, you know, we've been working together almost our whole lives. Even when I owned the Man Farm Moving franchise, I mean, she's been working by my side her whole life and working together. I mean, most people can't work together. I'm talking about as husbands and wives, but we work together. Just hanging wallpaper, your wallpaper used to be in, it's coming back in, but I'm getting too old to hang it. But anyway, we hung wallpaper. Anybody can haul, any couple that can hang wallpaper together, they're doing real good, because that can cause divorce. But we've been working together, side by side, in the moving business. Amen. She was a hard worker, packed. I mean, we'd go into houses, pack everything. I mean, everything in the house, empty every drawer, pack everything in the houses. And that was her job. And I hauled the furniture. We worked hard together. We went into ministry, worked hard together. Amen. Now we have slowed down some, but ministry, it's a lot of labor. A labor of faith and labor of love. But we want that because we want God glorified in our lives and in your lives as his people. Can I have an amen? So going to work every day to provide for your family is a journey of faith. And as you grow from faith to faith, God will prepare you and equip you for greater achievements and greater success. How many want to be a success in your life? Every one of us, because God put that in you. Amen. So in Joshua, the first chapter, let's go there for a moment. I'll read a couple of verses. And I won't keep you long this morning, even though I'll keep you a little longer, just because you want to. If you want to hear the word of God, let me hear it with something. That was enough for another hour. And no, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Joshua, the first chapter, verse 1. Now, God is giving Joshua counsel after the death of Moses, okay? And now watch this first verse. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua out of all the people of Israel. There were 12 leaders of the 12 tribes of Israel, and he was one of them. God talks to Joshua, but there was a reason, okay? Now watch this. The son of Nun, Joshua was the son of Nun, Moses' minister. That word minister means servant. He was Moses' servant. He had served Moses his entire life, okay? Joshua at this point in his life is 80 years old. He was 40 years old when they came to the land of Canaan, but because of unbelief, they couldn't go into the land of Canaan. The first generation of unbelievers died in the wilderness. It was never God's will, but they just refused to go in and possess the land. And so they died in the wilderness. And all that time, for 40 years, from the time Joshua was 40 years old to 80 years old, he lives a life of faith, a life of love, a life of obedience to God, along with Caleb, okay? All right, they had these two men, they were the spiritual influencers of the younger generation. Because everybody from 20 years old and up, or 21 and up, they all died in the wilderness. Those 20 years and under, they survived the wilderness to go in and possess what God had promised them. I just want you to capture that, okay? And verse 3, and this is what God told him. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread, I have given it to you, as I said unto Moses. Verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Amen. That promise is for you. God said, I will never fail thee. I will never forsake you. Come on, can you give God thanks for that right now? He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will never fail you. That's God's promise to us. And our promise to him is to stay faithful until we see all of that come to pass. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, this spiritual assignment given to Joshua just didn't come by mishap. It was because he had taken already sacrificial steps of faith up to this point. And I'll just share this with you. Exodus 17 is where we're first introduced to Joshua. That's where he's first mentioned, okay? And he was mentioned because when Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt and was taking them to the promised land, at one point the Amalekites came to attack Israel. So the first thing that God does, he calls Joshua to go out in battle against the Amalekites, to which Joshua did, hallelujah, and got a great victory. But Joshua would have never been able to accomplish that without those steps of faith that preceded that attack. You don't know what's coming in the future. I'm not sure. I don't know how long America can handle. She's now $30 trillion in debt. And I've asked bankers, I've got personal bankers, that they can't even wrap their head around $1 trillion, much less $30 trillion. So I don't know what's going to happen to the economy in the future, but I know one thing, I'm going to trust God, and God's going to take care of me, and God's going to take care of you as you trust in God. Can I have an amen? But I'm just saying, you need to be prepared for that. Not expect it, be prepared though. Get ready spiritually. Trust God right now with everything about your life. Amen? So we know that, again, the reason that God called Joshua was because he was the ranking army, official in the Israeli army. In other words, it reminded me of the centurion. Remember, the centurion told Jesus in Matthew 8 that his servant was sick. He came to Jesus, and Jesus said, I will come and heal him. And the centurion leader said, no, you don't have to come. Why? Because I understand authority. I've been under my authority and carrying out orders my whole life. I can recognize that the authority you're operating in is supernatural. So Jesus, just speak the word, give the command, and my servant will be healed. And Jesus said, I've never seen such great faith. No, not in Israel. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. This centurion had, he'd been a man of faith his whole life and didn't even know it. He was a Roman soldier. He was not even part of the covenant of Israel, yet he had operated his whole life under authority, not realizing that every time he obeyed, it was a step of faith for him. So that when his servant needed a miracle, he was prepared for the miracle. Hallelujah. Amen. Man, that's powerful. Thank you, Lord. 40 years later, as Joshua was endeavoring, now this is 40, remember, 40, this is in Exodus, now it's 40 years later, Moses has died, Joshua has stepped into that place of spiritual authority and leadership, and this is when he's 80 years old, all right? And as he's endeavoring to lead the Israelites into the fullness of God's promise, we're talking about the second generation, that second generation, listen, began to waver in their allegiance to God. So this is what Joshua said to them in chapter 24, verse 15. He had it up to here. He was so tired of listening to the murmuring and the complaining. Here's what he said. If it seems evil to you, to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves. This is you and I. Choose for yourselves. You can choose to serve God and watch him turn things around, or you can choose to live in your own pride and rebellion and watch your life go down. I'd rather have my life go up. Hallelujah. Amen. I love this. So you choose yourselves this day whom you'll serve, whether the gods which are your forefathers served on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. Watch this. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Say that out loud. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That should be your attitude. Praise the Lord. So step by step, Joshua was growing from faith to faith until he was in a position spiritually to finish what Moses started. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 5:6 says, humble yourselves. Demote and lower yourselves in your own estimation under the mighty hand of God, so that in due time he may exalt you. Stop and think about that. God wants to exalt you. God wants to exalt you. When I was a little boy, you know, and I just wanted to just help tie this in, you know. When I was a little boy, my daddy had a horrific drinking problem. And I would be so embarrassed to have the name Bang, because it connected me to my daddy. And of course the teacher, one of the teachers, Bang, he always called me Bang, you know. And I just never liked that name because what it was connected to. How many want your children to be connected to a man and woman of faith? A man and woman of love. Amen. That's what I want for my kids. Hallelujah. To know that all the challenges, ups and downs of life, mom and dad stayed in faith. They served God all the days of their life. Praise God. Amen. And my grandchildren could say the same thing about us. Praise the Lord. Humble yourselves. In due time, God will exalt you. Humble yourselves under his hand. Humble yourselves. Stay with him. Love him. Serve him. Bless him. Worship him. Praise him. I was telling my son earlier, I mentioned Andy, I bet I thank the Lord 30 to 50 times every day. Every day. I live a life of thanksgiving. Praise the Lord. Why? Because every thought comes in my mind that I have to remember comes from God. I declare I have the mind of Christ, and that is the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. But thank him. Have a thankful heart. Praise him. Get out of murmuring and complaining and start praising him that he is everything that you need in your life. Can I have an amen? Then God gave Joshua the key to a victorious outcome. Joshua 1:8. And I'm almost done here. It says, this book of the law. This is God speaking to Joshua. This book of the law, the word of God. Say the word of God. Amen. This book of the law, or God's word, as he's saying, shall not depart out of your mouth. In other words, you keep it there. Just keep speaking it. Just keep speaking it. Just keep speaking it. You brought your tithes into the storehouse. What did God promise those who bring their tithes? He promised them that he'd open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to contain it. Why don't you give him praise right now like you believe it? I said, give him praise like you believe it. Hallelujah. Then what did Paul say? My God, this Paul said to the church at Philippi, in Thessalonians, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now give him praise like you believe it. No, come on, give him praise like you believe it. Hallelujah. See, even as I force it, you don't realize it, but you're exercising your faith. You're exercising some faith. Hallelujah. Amen. Ah, oh, that was good. Anyway. Then he says here, but you shall meditate on my word day and night that you may observe and do, observe and do, observe and do according to all that's written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous and then you shall deal wisely and have good success. God wants you to succeed in life. He really does, but not without him being on the forefront of your heart and your life. In Deuteronomy 28, I just thought this was a good one of the phrases. That's why I chose this verse for all of you today. This is God speaking through Moses, and this is what he says. I have led you 40 years. This is to the children of Israel. I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Amen. Your clothes have not worn out upon you, and your sandals have not worn off your feet. You have not eaten grain bread, nor have you drunk wine or strong drink. Now watch this. That you might recognize and know your dependence on him. That you might recognize and know your dependence on him. How many here can say your dependence is on God and God alone? Amen. That should be on him. You're trusting him with your life. You're trusting him with your marriage. You're trusting him with your family, your children. You're trusting him with your provision. Amen. That you might recognize and know your dependence on him. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. My family and I have been following God, as I said, for over 50 years now. And our dependency has always been on him and him alone. Amen. And God has taken well care of us. We were blessed when we owned the trucking company. And when we transitioned into ministry, God always provided for us. Yes, we had our lean days. Yes, we experienced days like you where we didn't know if our bills were going to be paid or not, where the next money was coming from. But God always provided for us. Hallelujah. And he's no respecter of persons. He'll provide for you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Our part was to keep growing, and we are from faith till this day, from faith to faith, and then to keep encouraging others to take the journey with us. Amen. I said amen. I'll have the musicians come. Here's what Jesus said in John 15. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever lives in me and I in him bears much or abundant fruit. God wants you to bear his personality. God wants you to be Christ. God, I always say this, God-like in an ungodly world. You believe that? God wants you to be godlike in an ungodly world. Amen. A world that he loves, by the way. Jesus went on, however, apart from me, and I like the amplified, cut off from vital union with me. Cut off from vital union with me, you can do nothing. The Bangs translation, I wrote this out years ago. The Bangs translation is very simple. Without a Christ-centered life, you just fail. And I say that to all you young kids. The only difference between me and you, if you're 20 years old, I've simply lived 51 years of life that you haven't lived yet. That's all. You'll experience the same challenges, spiritual warfare, the same ups and downs of life. It's just part of this journey. And again, I'm convinced with all my heart that we are in the same journey that Israel was in, a journey through the wilderness. And when they were in the wilderness, my goodness, there was nothing out there. You know, there was nothing out there but scorpions and snakes and bugs. But God took care of them. I said, God took care of them. They didn't have air conditioning. Well, I guess they did. I apologize. God gave them a cloud by night a cloud by day from the heat, thank you, and a fire by night to get warm. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. He'll do the same for you. Amen. Stand, I want to pray for you today. Thank you, Lord. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But the good news is God is with you. So you be conscious of that every day of your life.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We'd love for you to join us for our Sunday morning services at 8:30 and 10:30. We also have a midweek service on Wednesday nights from 7 to 8. Thanks again for listening. Have a great day.